Where was I last? I was in Arlington, Texas a couple weeks ago, it feels like. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. 9 days ago. And I was at a conference on National Conference of Youth Ministries, and I had a booth for Healing Hands there. And throughout the week, youth ministers and youth workers could come by booth and check out what was going on with what you were doing. Healing Hands is a nonprofit, so at these conferences, youth ministers go to your booth according to your swag that you give out. Universities like Harding or Lipscomb or Lubbock Christian or Abilene Christian have money to provide these youth ministers. So a booth may have a nice fancy notebook with their logo on it, or a Yeti type mug with their logo. And you come to the Healing Hands booth, and I've got a couple of brochures. Sure. Ooh, frequency change. Well, we'll talk in this awkward position that it looks like I'm marrying Dave.
Just want to give you a hug.
All right. I usually talk outside of the event, so I don't think I have a problem talking. All right, are you ready? First logo that pops up, what is that?
Nice.
Hey, we're one for one. We got a smart audience here. I didn't make these hard, so if you fail this test, then
Starbucks.
I know I don't like Starbucks, but everybody knows that weird icon thingy. It is. All right, that's a generation, isn't it? Yeah, don't go ahead and say you PC, people get all offended, okay?
Sorry.
Wow, you guys are good. Pepsi, wow. I thought that might be a little tough. They've gone a little modernized.
Shell.
They're getting a little harder. Threw you off there, didn't I? And I don't want to get into causing too many ripples, but in honor of a special day for some of you folks in the audience. Not a logo I'd prefer to put up there, but my logos are not as recognized. And I did not decide to go into the school logo of a Hendersonville Commandos logo because I didn't want to upset the G's in the house. But we think about logos, and we think about how important they are and how quickly all of you said the logo. Why is that? Is it because it's recognizable? So I looked this up real quick this morning because I am not a marketing guru, but I do a lot of marketing type stuff. And here's five principles that Google told me on an effective logo. And I promise we're going somewhere with this morning, so hang on. First, it needs to be simple. Simplicity makes a difference. Second, it needs to be memorable. I was thinking about looking at obscure logos that, like, nobody would know, but that would be the point. Nobody would know, and just look at it and say, I don't know. Third, it needs to be timeless. Is that McDonald's logo timeless? How many of you here remember as a kid wanting to go to McDonald's? All of us, timeless, versatile, and appropriate. So I want you to think about logos. And so we're going to go into the next phase of logos that are a little more personal to us. And for me, this next logo means a lot. If you know me, you'll see this on something I'm wearing during the time at work, except for today. I did not wear it. In fact, I took a Sunday off. But that is the Walk for Water logo, and I'll tell you about that in a second. This logo, hopefully, if you're in this audience, you've seen this logo. If not, Dave, we've got to up our game. And then, by the way, I felt honored to have a special edition logo. And I thought it was really special because it's Africa. So, hey, I felt honored. It took me years to even get like I think I can put on the screen. But we recognize logos, don't we? You know, I was on my way to Texas in December. November. And I was wearing a Walk for Water shirt. And on the front of the shirt, this has the Walk for Water logo. And I walk into a Whataburger. If you've been to Texas, you know Whataburger. I walk in, and this lady comes up to me. I've been there for a while. I've checked out the counter. I've gone and sit down.
I went to get a refill.
And this lady comes up and says, "Excuse me, sir." I'm like, "Oh, what did I do? I paid for the drink, ma'am. I don't know what you're asking me." And she said, "I noticed your shirt. What is Walk for Water?" So in a brief moment, I got this chance. Somewhere else along that trip, I was wearing the same shirt the same day. Somebody asked me again, "What is Walk for Water?" You know, we're at a time in Walk for Water where we're trying to come up with, we don't change our logo, but we change our shirts every year and our posters. And we always want our shirts to be something that A, people want to wear. B, we want it to be something that asks questions. So our front of our shirt, our design, doesn't tell everything. It leaves you to say, "What does your shirt mean?" But what is always on our shirts and our marketing is our Walk for Water logo. We want that to be something that people see consistently. So you're probably asking, why are we talking about logos this morning? And why is it that says, "What is your cool logo?" That very first slide says, "Insert your cool logo here." If you were to have a logo for your life, what would that logo be? So I want to show you a commercial clip, and I give all the credit to knowing this commercial to my wife and not to me. But we're going to watch this real quick. Hopefully the sound's on, if not too loud. I'll get ready. If it blows your eardrums out, I'm sorry.
The following is a paid message for a chip so iconic, we don't need to name it. Because this is an ad with no logos, no jingles, no gimmicks. Just those red and blue bags with the stuff you love in it. Three sides to this story. It's the corner store crunch that had you trade your buddies for it if they packed a pack at lunch. No logo, but our name stays on the tip of your tongue when you're shaking for crumbs once that bag is done. Man, you know the brand. Felt the dust. Asked for one. Doubled up. Hit the shelf and called dibs on that last bit. This is that sweet, cheesy, salty, spicy, crispy, crunchy, flavor-packed bodega snack that rhymes with, "I need those." The chip that changed the game in bag greatness. You can taste it. But an ad with no logo? It's another level.
What was that?
Doritos.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
You see, what is your logo?
Turn to John chapter 13. We're going to look at a few verses, then we're going to flip over to 2 Corinthians. John 13, and we're just going to read 34 and 35. Thinking about what is our logo, what is our brand, what is our marketing, how do people know who we are? Starting verse 34, "I give you a new command, love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." They will know we are Christians by our love is a song we sing. Hopefully, your logo, your brand is Christ. When people see you, they see Christ. Hopefully, they see it in a simplistic way. So I was looking at Pinterest, or whatever you call that weird site, because Google took me to Pinterest to give me these cool slides that I didn't have to create. And I found these cool little things. We aren't called to shine our own light. We are called to reflect His. What is our brand? Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. What is your brand? Be careful how you live. You will be the only Bible some people ever read. Pretty powerful, isn't it? So turn over to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at some, and I'll be 100% honest. I started out in 2 Corinthians for one section of Scripture, and I've gotten into this thing of trying to make sure that whatever I read is in the right context. So I start looking at all these commentaries and stuff, and the next thing I'm looking at the whole context of 2 Corinthians, the next thing I find all four of these in 2 Corinthians. So I was like, wow, I look like a smart sermon guy today. I came up with 4 points when I was looking for a verse. There's honesty in my preaching. All right, so let's look at these different things and how it tells us what our brand should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at 14 through 17.
But thanks be to God, who always leads us in Christ's triumphal procession, and through us spreads the aroma of knowledge of Him in every place. For to God we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To some we are an aroma of death, leading to death, but to others an aroma of life, leading to life. Who is adequate for these things? For we do not market the word of God for profit like so many. On the contrary, we speak with sincerity in Christ, as from God and before God. So we are the fragrance of Christ.
Very next section of Scripture, it is a different chapter, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3, it says,
are we beginning to mend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
And the verse that I really went looking for in the beginning, page over or a few pages, depending on how big your Bible is, or small your Bible is, chapter 4, 5 through 7.
For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Christ, but Jesus Christ is our Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light and knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us.
Now, it's interesting, I read about clay jars. I don't keep clay jars around the house, I don't think. Maybe we have a clay pot somewhere. But they were used to keep waste and stuff in back then. They were fragile, too. They were breaking.
And it's saying that, look, it's not about the outside, it's what's on the inside. The power of Christ, the power of God working in us. And I love that fits so well with our logo, because when people see us, we don't want them to see me. We want them to see Christ. And so I thought that was very fitting for this. And then in chapter 5, 16 through 21, isn't it awesome how powerful Paul put in like several chapters here of all these things? From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know Him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, but see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against Him, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God.
And so we look at this and we say, all right, what am I to reflect?
When people see me, do they recognize Christ? Just as you recognize those logos instantly. There was no hesitation when the McDonald's logo came up. And I guarantee you right now, you can tell me what McDonald's means to you. For some of you, it's a Happy Meal. For some of you, it's a play place. For some of you, it's those French fries fresh off of the fryer. They're so good. For others, it's the breakfast sandwiches. The weird combination of putting pancake syrup and pancake on bacon and eggs, like my wife did yesterday, makes me want to throw up. But you know what? It's special to her. I guess. But we look at logos, we see them, and companies don't waste time. In 2 weeks, we'll announce in a second, we're going to watch the Super Bowl, but here we eat the Super Bowl. But we're going to see ad after ad after ad after ad spent money on to put that logo. to you, because you're not running around buying blinds and shutters all day long. But there is something about Graver and Norman that they have taken something about their brand. And you see that and you know it. It's not like every time you get a new Graver box in, their logo changes, does it? McDonald's has not changed. Pepsi, a little bit modernized. Taco Bell, yeah, the bell's a little different than it was. But it's always there because people want to be recognized by their logo. And that's what we spend so much money, or not us, but people spend so much money it is. So people want to be recognized. The second thing is they want you to know what your company stands for. Do you think Taco Bell just worries about you knowing their little logo, or do they want you to come and eat their food? They're going to put more effort in putting in and say, hey, not only is this a cool logo, but there's something behind it. And if you think about that in your life, if you reflect Christ, people are going to look at you and they're going to recognize him. They're going to look at you and as they recognize him, they're going to want to know more about him. Or they're going to know more about him because of what you do. Well, they're either going to be intrigued by who you are, or they're going to know who you are by how you live. They're going to know you by your fruits of the Spirit. And I almost went with Galatians and read that. We've gone through that so many times. But what we bear fruit in is how people recognize us. And it needs to be timeless because Christ is timeless. So it's not like we just wear Christ on Sundays. And that's when the logo shines up. I didn't put up there a cross. I didn't put up there the fish symbol. I didn't put up there a church building. Because that's not what our logo should be. Our logo should be Christ. And people need to see Christ, not because we wear a cross. Not because I walk around toting a Bible. Not because I put on my Sunday best. This is my Sunday best. Put my board hanging out. We need to be seen because we know Christ. And so, it's funny. I was on that trip and I'm sitting in the hotel. It's Friday morning. I'm supposed to fly home that day. And I get a text from Southwest saying your flight was canceled. Uh-oh. Well, I guess I'll chill in the room with it. Two things came from that day of Friday, January 10th. One was at 11 o'clock, me and my buddy were going to run over to AT&T Stadium to tour Jerry's World. Pay money to walk through a football stadium. For those that don't like football, you fly a big whoopty doodah, but if you're rich, you'd love to go on that tour because we got to go and see all the makings of it. But do you know what? Yes, it's the home of the Dallas Cowboys. But do you know what logo I saw more than the Dallas Cowboys? AT&T was everywhere. If I would have had that little symbol there, you'd know exactly what AT&T is. On top of their giant stadium, it doesn't say home of the Cowboys, it says AT&T Stadium. And it is the biggest, largest stadium structure currently, because I think somebody's trying to outdo them. But the logo was everywhere. But going back to what I was sitting in my room and had a little bit of time to kill, and this, you know, you're flipping through the hotel and it's TV surfing, and I find this movie called I Feel Pretty. Why in the world did I stop and watch a movie called I Feel Pretty? I already know I look pretty, so watch that one too. And in the basis gist of this is I'm watching this, also trying to find me a new flight on my phone, thinking, oh, please get home, because I've got the first basketball game that I got to coach on Saturday, and I can't miss that, because that's big time. And I'm watching, and this girl hits her head. She's an overweight girl who struggles with confidence. She hits her head, and when she comes to, she thinks, wow, I'm beautiful. I'm the perfect definition of beauty. I'm skinny. People love me. And so she walks out with this new confidence in her mind that everybody looks at her. And the first thing, she's going to this coffee shop, and this guy is opening up the door, and she kind of slides up under his arm and says, oh, see, chivalry is not dead. The guy was not really opening the door for her, but in her mind, she thought that. She's walking down the road in this big city, and there's the construction workers working on a site, and one of them whistles. She's looking ahead, and she's like, oh, I knew they were whistling at me. It's okay. He was actually whistling to another buddy up on top saying, hey, he needed something. And so she goes through life with this whole perspective. Everybody's looking at her. So she goes and applies for this front receptionist at this clothing line store where they're going to put, like, the first person somebody sees when they come into the office is this model-looking girl. She's like, well, of course I deserve this job. Now, the whole time, she's never changed looks. She looks exactly the same. So to everybody else, she looks the same.
comes back to, and she realizes that, you know, oh, man, I'm back to my ugly self. Or I've been. And so she goes around, and people still see her the same. And what she comes to realize is that the whole time people saw her as she was, her mindset had changed. So here's my challenge to you. In order to reflect Christ, in order for you to be a walking billboard for him, you've got to know on the inside that you understand who Christ is and what he's done for you. Because when you do that, you're going to walk with a different strut. You're going to walk with a different style. And when you walk by, people are going to look at you, and they're going to see Christ. And that's your mindset. And so all the perspective in front of you is going to change because you are seeing, or a belief that people are seeing Christ in you. And that's how you want to reflect. So that is a simple challenge to you this morning. But I found two more little quotes as we close out and we're about to offer an invitation that go along with this I feel pretty mindset. It's not about how Christian you look from the outside. It's about your personal relationship with God. Jesus isn't looking for you to be like other Christians. He is looking for you to be like him. Simple if you read over it, but it's powerful if you stop and think about it. 2020, I didn't go with any of those vision things, but let's be more about reflecting Christ than reflecting a church, reflecting a belief system. Let's know Christ, let's reflect Christ. And when people see us, they want to be with Christ. So what is your brand? What is your logo? That is the message for this morning. So now you have to put on clothes, put your logo on. I'll be back to walk the water during the morning. What I love about this congregation is that we are family. And when you're family, you can share with each other what's going on. And we do a good job of that. So right now, if there's something going on in your life that you need prayers, we would love to pray for you. If you've got things that are going on that you want to update us, and do that, that's time to rejoice as a family. We also go through a lot of struggles sometimes. As Christians, it's hard to walk being reflective lights of Christ all the time. Sometimes we need help and encouragement. So if you have a need in that area, we'd love to pray for you. If you want to put on Christ in baptism, then it's always available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there's an opportunity now. Whatever you need, I encourage you to come together with me and sing.
I'm changing the song.
Uh-oh. Unacceptable.
448. I think everybody knows it. 448.
Love one another, for love is of God.